Check out my newly renamed podcast, Democracy on Fire with Kay Brown, where we'll discuss the ongoing conflict with Iran and its implications for our economy, security, and upcoming elections. Hope to see you there. Democracy on Fire on United America Network.
Welcome to Hotspots on the United America Network. From the shifting landscapes of politics and culture to the urgent challenges facing our planet and our communities, this is where the conversations that matter most come alive. With her experience as a journalist, legislator, and activist, Kay Brown brings sharp insight, uplifting perspective, and unflinching courage to the issues shaping our future. Get ready for candid conversations, bold ideas, and the pushback our times demand. Now, here's Kay.
Welcome to Hotspots. So glad you are here. It's election time in California as votes are being cast on whether to adopt Proposition 50, the Election Rigging Response Act. We'll be talking about that in this podcast, as well as the overall situation we're facing that makes it so crucial that we pass Prop 50. My guest is Fayaz Nawabi. He's a native of San Diego and a graduate of San Diego State University, where he earned degrees in public administration, city planning, and Japanese. He serves as an imam for the Muslim community at Tri-City Islamic Center. Fayaz has worked extensively in the electioneering space, leading independent expenditures to support progressive leaders like Karen Bass, serving as a surrogate for Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign, and most recently, acting as treasurer for a super PAC that helped elect Zohran Mamdani in New York City's Democratic primary. He currently serves as treasurer for the State Issues Committees for the People Fund, Yes on Prop 50, and he's also worked as a manager in the nonprofit arena. He's the founder and executive director of For the People Action, a 501c4 organization that's working in the Black, African, Middle Eastern, Muslim, and South Asian communities to advance civic engagement and progressive policy. Welcome, Fayaz. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Kay.
Well, you have such an interesting background. I'm really interested to know more about you and what motivated you to get involved in politics?
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Kay. What motivated me to get involved in politics was a need for getting our community involved. You know, I grew up in San Diego, California, and after 9/11, the Muslim community was basically shunned, thrown to the wayside. The Patriot Act was passed. There was a war on terror. So a lot of the folks within our community, we felt like we can't get involved in the civic engagement and political process just because of fears of being targeted. So I remember at that time I was a Republican. The 2008 presidential race, for the first time within the Republican Party, I wasn't even paying attention to the Democratic Party at that time because our family were historically Republicans. There was someone that was speaking about not invading Muslim countries, Muslim-majority countries, and that was Ron Paul, right? He was a libertarian, Republican. I really enjoyed what he was saying, like, okay, why are we getting in? Why are we invading all of these countries? Why are we spending billions of dollars in these foreign interventions? So that's what really started getting me involved in the political process. But then he lost the primary, and then I was basically a refugee, did not know who to go and support for president. And then there was this gentleman named Barack Obama that was also speaking about not getting involved in foreign conflicts and why are we spending money overseas so much? Why don't we spend money and help the people of America? So I attached myself to President Obama's campaign, registered as a Democrat for the first time at that time, voted as a Democrat. He brought a lot of hope into my community and for the civic engagement from my community side. So that's what really got me involved in the political process.
Tell me about For the People Action. What are you doing to get people involved in these communities that have historically not been part of the process?
So I've been working in this space for almost 20 years now. And one of the challenges that I have noticed is that there was nobody within our BAMEMSA community, the Black, African, Middle Eastern, Muslim, South Asian community, that was really organizing us in the electioneering space. We have wonderful C3 organizations, civic engagement organizations, but in particular, electioneering, right? Getting people to win their race. Our community has, it was very, very, not as mature as other communities. So the idea of For the People Action came from that. We want to elect people into office that are for people, not for profit. For people, not for special interest groups. And our community needs to get involved in that process. So we created For the People Action for that. And we are seeing really great results in our organizing. We are organizing folks at the various mosques up and down in the state of California and different parts of the country because, and this is one thing I always mention to our community and our partners, that 90% of your policy priorities are won at the ballot box. One of the challenges our community has is we get people elected and then we're trying to advocate for our policy issues, but that person that got elected, you're not the reason why they got elected. But when they see, okay, you are the reason why they got elected, you turned out your community, you phone banked, you canvassed, you did ethnic media ad buys for this candidate, they will listen to your issues. Not only will they listen to it, but they will implement those priority issues that you believe in.
Yeah, that's so important to have that accountability and for elected leaders to recognize who put them there and encourage them to follow through on the things that they've said they would do, which is something we have to continuously work on. As an Islamic faith leader, how do you view the rise of Christian nationalism in our country? Are the recent developments affecting the ability of non-Christians to worship freely?
So when it comes to the rise of Christian nationalism, I want to make it very clear that I have many beautiful brothers and sisters that are Christians that follow the Christian faith, and that the Christian nationalists are not emblematic of what the entire Christian, diaspora believes in. Now, in particular, with the Christian nationalists, it is becoming harder to worship and follow our faith. I'll give a very specific example. There is something called the National Security Protection Grant, NSGP. And this basically, this grant is for houses of worship. And it is a federal grant that's coming from FEMA. And we just saw with this current white Christian nationalist administration, there were 8 Muslim community-based organizations and mosques that were actually, they passed through the scrutiny of getting the grant. They got the grant. They were awarded the grant. But then this administration came back and said, you know what? Because you guys are Muslims, basically, you're not eligible for this grant. We're taking away this grant from you. So that's just one example. And what is this grant for? It's for hiring security guards so your worshipers are safe when they are praying. It is for purchasing security cameras to make sure your worshipers are safe. Building fences so that your worshipers are safe. We are seeing directly that this white Christian nationalist administration is attacking our communities. And the way that they attack, Kay, is they attack the funding. They want to make sure that you are unsafe. I mean, security guards. Like, we have our Friday prayers every single Friday, obviously. And at our mosque, we have anywhere between 300 to 400 people of worshipers. And we can't have a security guard to be in front to make sure that our worshipers are safe. This is just one example of how this current administration is impacting our communities.
And there are so many ways that Christian nationalists are harming not only communities of faith, but other, you know, immigrants, people of color, LGBTQ populations. It's kind of a through line that really connects many of the outrageous and unlawful and unconstitutional acts that we see the current administration undertaking. And that's brings me to the next topic I wanted to bring up with you, which is Proposition 50 and California's attempt to push back on Trump's attempt to rig the upcoming elections in 2026 by doing redistricting around the country. Talk a little bit about Proposition 50 and why it's so important in this situation we're now facing.
Yeah, so I'll give a little bit of background of where Proposition 50 came up. Earlier in the year, President Trump called Governor Greg Abbott, asking him, or actually not asking him, just telling him, commanding him, hey, make five seats, make five Republican seats in Texas. And he obliged. And now you see that Jasmine Crockett's district is in a compromise situation. You see Al Green's district is in a compromise situation. Just to let you know, Al Green was the reason why he's being targeted specifically was during the State of the Union address. Remember, Al Green stood up and said no, and he was protesting Trump to his face. And you saw the Republicans and Mike Johnson booing him and yelling really nasty things about him. And he was escorted out of the congressional hall. So Prop 50, they're not only targeting five Democratic seats, but they're targeting the most loud and progressive Democratic representatives in Texas. So what Governor Newsom did, and I don't agree with everything Governor Newsom says or does. However, on this specific point, he's batting 1,000%. And that is saying, hey, we can't just sit by and allow the Trump administration to rig the 2026 midterms elections. We have to respond back. So now Prop 50 became a reality. Now, with Prop 50 in the state of California, it had to get passed by both the state assembly and the state senate, and then the governor had to sign it. And now, because we believe in democracy in the state of California, it's now going to come to vote to the people of California and in the form of Prop 50. When Prop 50 was first announced, UC Berkeley did a study and they found that roughly 49 to 51% of voters in California agreed yes on Prop 50. And there was about 23 or 24% of Californians that were on the fence. They were undecided. But because of the work that we did at For the People Action, in conjunction with labor, in conjunction with progressive philanthropic organizations, we were able to bump up yes on Prop 50. There was a recent poll that was done by YouGov and another poll done by CBS. And now Prop 50 is polling at 62%.
That sounds good. That sounds promising. So we still have a couple more days to go of voting, and it is important to show up and not assume that it's going to pass just because there's been a good poll. And I was wondering your opinion of this election monitor situation where the Justice Department has said it is sending these monitors to counties in Southern California to monitor voting where there are high Hispanic populations. Do you think they're attempting to suppress the vote or intimidate people not to vote?
That is definitely what they're doing. The Republican Party's entire agenda right now, especially with this administration, is to disenfranchise Black and Brown voters. They don't want our communities to be involved in the electioneering process. And not only that, Some of their thought process makes no sense. The folks that are going to the polling stations are U.S. citizens that are registered to vote. So even this tactic that they're using, it's just a scare tactic. It's not going to benefit their agenda, and it's not going to benefit us, and we're not going to be afraid of them. the whole purpose of Prop 50 is we're telling the Trump administration, we are not afraid of you all. You think sending some booted thugs to our polling station is going to scare us? That is not going to happen. The people of California are going to speak loud and clear on November 4th by passing this with an overwhelming majority, with a mandate that we are ready to fight against the Trump administration.
So if there are people listening who haven't registered yet, is it too late? Can they register when they show up on Election Day?
So what I tell folks is register to vote as soon as possible. In California, there is same day registration. You could go in San Diego County. We have a website, sdvote.com. But if you're outside of the city of San Diego or the county of San Diego, you could register to vote at registertovote.ca.gov. Register to vote immediately. We are also telling folks to turn in their mail-in ballots before November 4th. One of the things that the Trump administration is doing is if someone lives 50 miles away from one of the major polling sites in California, they might not count that vote if it's turned in on November 4th, the day of the election. So what we are telling folks is turn in your ballots before November 4th. If you're going to vote in person, make sure you vote in person in these areas. The rural areas, that's where it gets a little dicey. There was a recent article that was released by LA Times talking about this. But in actuality, for Prop 50, we see that majority of the voters in the rural areas that are going to be impacted on this issue are actually voting against Prop 50. But we want to tell folks, get in person, get near one of your four major polling stations throughout the state of California within a 50-mile radius.
Is there a central place where people can get voting information? A website that you'd recommend?
There's a Secretary of State's office in California that you could visit. But what we tell folks is go to registertovote.ca.gov. That has all the information, your local polling station. You could check if you're registered to vote. And this is for all folks that live throughout the state of California.
What should the resistance movement be doing now to engage and inspire people to get involved? We've obviously been facing huge issues and problems, just a daily avalanche of unlawful, outrageous actions going on here for months and months. And it looks like we're in a marathon to get to the election. But how do you approach this? And what do you say to people to give them hope that we can prevail?
Well, I tell folks all the time, continue to show up. I know that sounds very, very basic, but we really need to continue showing up for any community that is being marginalized. We see right now with this current administration, when President Trump was running for his reelection in 2024, he kept on saying on the campaign trail, his team were saying on the campaign trail, that we are only going after illegal immigrants. And now you are seeing this administration not only going after undocumented community members, they are now going after naturalized U.S. citizens. They are saying things like for individuals like Zohran Mamdani, who's running for mayor in New York City, and he is going to win. He is going to win. And I think he's going to win by 55% plus, because one of the things that polling agencies are doing is they're only polling the same exact people. They haven't polled people like myself and folks from my community. And there's almost 500, half a million Muslims that are registered to vote in New York City. And that's why he beat the polling by like, what, 5 or 6 points in the Democratic primary. It's going to happen again. So what the Trump administration is doing right now is they are going after legal U.S. citizens, naturalized citizens. And they're telling people like Zohran Mamdani that, hey, we are going to denaturalize you and deport you. They are telling folks like Mehdi Hassan, right, one of the prominent progressive voices, formerly of MSNBC, but now with his new political station, Zateo, they're also threatening him with denaturalization and deportation. And just yesterday, Stephen Miller's wife, while she was on Piers Morgan's show, was prominently and out loud telling Cenk Uygur, because he was disagreeing with her, I'm going to have my husband deport you. This is the kind of rhetoric that is being spewed out by this current administration and the supporters of this administration. What I tell our allies and our community, continue to show up, continue to raise your voice. Do not get tired, because the moment that we stop raising our voices, the moment we stop showing up, they are going to run over us.
Which they are already attempting to do. And there's so many things that it seems like Trump is just doing without authorization that are illegal and improper, and no one is really holding him to account yet, because the Congress has completely abdicated its responsibilities, at least the Republicans in Congress, to hold him accountable and to play the role that they constitutionally should be playing in determining how funds are spent. And he has totally taken that over. But it's interesting to note that his popularity continues to fall on virtually all the major issues that matter to voters. He is sinking in approval, and he was minus 18 points in his ratings, the last polls that recently came out, and he's falling with basically all groups, and his approval is now under 40% in virtually every state in the country. So not that that is predictive of what's going to happen, but it does tell us that there's room to persuade people who may be on the fence and who may have been supporting him in the past. And that, plus we just really need to focus on getting people involved who haven't been and who maybe are waking up now to seeing some of these consequences, not only in the economy, the rising prices from his tariff policies and all the problems with deportation and the outrageous immigration enforcement that has become so problematic for so many families and causing so much pain and dislocation already, really, according to them, just getting started, and there's more to come. So we do have a lot of challenges in front of us, but right now in California, we have the next big opportunity upon us right now, and we're really down to the wire on making a stand here. So if you haven't voted yet, do it. And make it a priority to get that done. Vote yes on Prop 50, which is the only thing on the ballot, so it won't take long to cast that ballot. And to my guest, Fayaz Nawabi, thank you for sharing your insights and your story. As we've been discussing, it takes a movement to get us out of this mess. At United America Network, we're working to build that movement. Please join us for Hotspots again next week. In the meantime, get out and vote yes on Prop 50, a very important thing you can do now to help check Trump's unlawful, unconstitutional, unhinged behavior. This is what democracy sounds and looks like. Thank you for voting.
You've been listening to Hot Spots with Kay Brown, where tough issues meet thoughtful conversation. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and join us again as we spotlight the struggles, solutions, and stories that fuel resilience and change. Until next time, keep your fire burning. Hot Spots is a production of the United America Network and is available on most major podcast platforms, as well as from unitedamericanetwork.com. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.
If you've had enough and want to wake up our recalcitrant Congress, join me on Democracy on Fire with Kay Brown for the top 23 reasons we need regime change now. Hope to see you there, Democracy on Fire on United America Network.